What's up, everybody? It's your favorite host, Slammin' Sam. I hope you are in that seat and buckled in real tight. We're gonna go for another ride and smash that loud pedal here on In the Groove. Man, oh man, oh man. Another episode of In the Groove podcast here. And I mean, these episodes just keep getting better and better. I can't thank you guys for listening to this, but I just really don't know what to say about what's about to happen tonight. Okay. I got another guest on tonight that we're going to talk about media stuff. We're going to talk about what it's like to have probably, I would hands down say, the two funniest guys around them at all times. And then a mechanic that, you know, I really don't know what to say much about. But the person I'm bringing on tonight, like I always say, these people need no introduction. This person, if you followed anything in racing in the last few years, you've seen one of his pictures. You've probably seen him on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, whatever it may be, and you've seen him on TV. I'm just going to bring on the legend behind a camera, the guy who brings you content daily, hourly, and probably by the minute. But I'm going to bring on my friend, Lou, Mr. 405 Photos himself. How's it going tonight, buddy?
What's up, Sam? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. Like I said, it's an honor, first of all. Let me just tell you, it's an honor to have a legend like you on talking to me. I mean, geez, I think we've talked probably, well, I know we've probably talked more than 100 times on the phone and Instagram and Facebook and then a couple of times in person. But to have you on the podcast, I mean, this is legendary. I can honestly say that. But Lou, let's just get right down to it. Let's get to business. Like I said, you work with some of the funniest guys in the industry. You have, honestly, is it even called a job? But first off, let people know who you are. Tell them kind of your story and who Lou and 405 Photography really is.
I just want to say thanks for having me on. I know we met, I don't know, what was it, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago at either SEMA or PRI at one of those trade shows. And we've been trying to hook up ever since. And unfortunately, to the situation that we're in right now with COVID, like stuff kind of slowed down. So I'm just trying to do as much as I can, remotely. So, my name is Lou. I own and operate 405 Photo here in Oklahoma City. And I'm also the digital content creator for Farm Truck and Asian from Street Outlaws. What was your other questions? I don't remember.
So you're kind of giving it to him short and sweet. I mean, you know, so you have the opportunity to work with Farm Truck and Asian daily. I mean, we can skip a couple of questions. I mean, you know, a lot of this is kind of going to go off the top of the dome, but you know, with having the 405 Photography, working with them, and then, you know, the COVID situation, has that kind of slowed you guys down a little bit? Do you think it's given you more opportunity to post more content, go through some of the stuff that you have maybe skipped over before and post that? Or are you guys just steamrolling straight ahead?
Now that it's kind of the cat's out of the bag, you know, Farm Truck and Asian got their own show. So we had started filming that and then it stopped due to COVID. And then now things are picking back up again, hopefully soon. The date keeps changing, but that's kind of what you have to do in this time with nothing being very certain. So it's kind of put us in a hold pattern right now. So we're just trying to tighten up all our loose ends and do the things that we didn't have time to do before, since we were kind of on the go all the time. And then we've been kind of hunkered down, working on stuff and, you know, like working on our website and, you know, it's a very cool job, but it's a cool job. It's a job with its cool moments, I guess I should say. Like today, I spent half the day messing with Excel sheets, trying to import CSV files into our website. So, you know, it's, that part of my job is the back end of it isn't very exciting. But it is stuff that needs to be done so that our e-commerce site continues to work at OKCFarmTruck.com. So.
Yeah, and it's not like you guys are just doing one or two things, right? You've got the Farm Truck and Asian Show, and that's something that we're definitely going to talk about because that's huge news for us all. And then you guys have, you know, you guys have your own traction compound. You guys have T-shirts. You guys have stickers. Yeah. You're working with a couple other different people. But then the thing that catches me the most is on Instagram. If you don't follow him already, it's Lou 405 Photography. You definitely need to do that, and I will put that down below. But you have over 97,000 followers. I mean, you have... Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how, but yeah.
Oh, come on. And then, I mean, you have almost 2,000 pictures posted. There's days when I go on there and you guys' story is just full of content. And what is that like? Like you said, you're doing a bunch of stuff. So is it day in, day out, you know what you're going to do? Or is it just a hustle and a grind to continue to produce, even with everything that has gone on, you know, with the COVID situation and everything like that?
Yeah, but we found that it was probably most important now to, you know, no one could go anywhere or do anything for several months. So it was important to just kind of, this is how people were communicating, you know, through their phones and through digital media. So, you know, even though everyone kind of got in this weird funk when, you know, the quarantine happened and no one can go anywhere. But yeah, I mean, we stuck to our, stick to the plan, right? So the plan was always to kind of, the way we market ourselves is to share part of our lives. So it's just a matter of, you know, sharing what's going on in our everyday, you know. So my studio is adjacent to our shop where all our cars are, where the Farm Truck sits and the Gonorail and the Jeeper. So that's when you brought up Ed earlier, you know, our mechanic. So, you know, it's me and him there at that shop all the time. So we just have the same kind of dry, you know, fucked up sense of humor. So we just mess with each other all the time, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, it's times, right? There's times where it's a regular job like it was today, where it was just posting content. It was editing a video for YouTube and then messing with our e-commerce site backend through Excel worksheets, right? And then there's days, you know, where we're traveling all over the place and, you know, going to races and stuff like that. So it kind of really varies every day what we get to do.
And talking about that, you brought that up. So I have to ask the notorious question. You probably get asked this all the time. But every time I see a post and Ed's involved in it, there's just one thing said, and that's, fuck you, Ed. Yeah. Hey, Ed.
Yeah,
so. I mean, yeah. What is that? Is that just like an ongoing joke? I feel bad because I met Ed last PRI for the first time. And I mean, it seems kind of natural. It's like we know you guys because you guys post so much about your life. So the first thing I say to him, I see him and I'm like, hey, Ed, hey, fuck you, Ed. I mean, is that an ongoing thing that everybody does? Or
I actually remember you doing that to him at PRI and he cracked up. Because it's kind of how we all talk to each other, like Asian included. You know, like we walk into a room and we're like, oh, you're here and fuck you. And just, you know, it's kind of our hello in a way. So, yeah, but it's a good talk.
Yeah, to kind of tell our story for some people that don't know, I met you a few years ago. I think the first time I had gone to the first event I went to was the No Prep Scene. No, actually, the first one was PRI. That'd be 3 years ago, not including this year. Yeah. And you guys did a nice commercial for me. I stood there and asked, and I just waited to, you know, get you guys' attention just to see if you guys were willing to do it. And I think that really kind of solidified a lot of things with us. After that, we kind of start talking, you know, and then I went down. I drove down to Tulsa with a buddy of mine, an 18-hour trip, which... I mean, it's what I got to do living where I live, right? So, you know, you drive down there and then we come and see you guys hang out. And, you know, you guys were very welcoming to me again after only meeting me for the first time there at PRI and then going to this event.
That says a lot about you, you know, like the way you came about. You're very polite. You know, we were in the middle of chaos almost because we had the gonorrhea there. We were at the quick performance booth. We had people there all the time. And then while we were at these trade shows, we have a schedule of meetings and sponsors that we need to go talk to and, you know, kind of talk about old business, talk about new business. So we're kind of all over the place. So but just the way that you did it and you were patient and you asked politely and you were just cool. And, you know, when they had time to do it, they came up and they did that spot for you. So yeah, man, that says a lot about how you went about you're very professional about it.
No, I mean, I tried to, you know, I'm not even going to lie. I'm a fangirl just like anybody else would be, right? So meeting you guys for the first time and everything like that. But I knew where, you know, my mindset was. It's all about longevity. And if you meet, that first impression is your last impression. I don't care what anyone, you know, says. People are going to remember that forever. So, you know, I still have that video on my phone. And then, you know, going down to Tulsa, we all talked again and you're like, hey man, come up to the starting line. And I'm like, and that's actually where I met AJ, from True Street, and he's taken off since then. That guy is, yeah, he's a young go getter, but it's just cool to, you know, meet people and have that relationship and continue to grow that relationship. But then, you know, like I said, seeing you guys again the next year after that, and then my third year, which was last year, which sucks that we can't go to PRI, but then seeing Ed, I felt like as if we were a family, right? You guys work really closely with Race Quip. I do myself. Fred does phenomenal things and helps out a lot, you know? So I mean, that's cool. But then, like I said, with Ed, that's just... It's kind of like we're a long extended family. With this TV show, I don't know what really we can and we can't talk about. There's been some stuff. But then also, you guys' YouTube channel, I mean, has taken off tremendously from when you guys started. You went down on that long trip and you guys bought that car. You and Asian did. Yep. So, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that you guys are just continuing to tell stories. And how does that feel, I guess, for you, knowing that you're helping putting these people and making that connection so when they see something, they have something that's relatable? It's not just, oh, you guys have been on Discovery, or, oh, you guys, you know, are the people from Street Outlaws or the Asian and Farm Truck Show. You guys are actually telling stories and want to be connected with your fans.
Yeah, you know, the TV shows only tell so much. You know, there's only so much time to tell the story that they're going to tell. And there's so much that happens between the idea and the final outcome. It's a TV show. And that's where, you know, that's our daily life is how do we prepare to go to a film like a race night? Or what do we do? Like right now I'm editing a video about when we went to go test the farm truck before a race night for Street Outlaws earlier this year. So it's just like, hey, like it's us loading the farm truck up and talking about that and getting there and how farm truck straps in. And, you know, it's just that there's still a lot of, and with YouTube, you can flesh out the story to more of a long form type of story. So that's what it gives us the opportunity to do, is to kind of let people in on the lives that we have that aren't necessarily shown on TV. But that's just the nature of it. So yeah, it's really cool to be able to have that opportunity to share and let people know who, you know, because people have an idea of who Farm Truck and Asian are, but then a comment I see a lot on like our YouTube channel, they're like, oh, I didn't know Asian was, you know, how he is. He's not just, you know, when he's on TV, he kind of puts it on and he's not that he's playing a character, but he accentuates part of his personality. And that's what's shown more, right? They don't control what is shown on the TV. That's all the editors for the show. But with us, you know, like we're just regular dudes hanging out that have known each other for a long time. So that's kind of what's shown in our YouTube channel and social media channel.
Matt Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slammin' Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
So then you go into starting editing and everything that you've done there. I know when we first talked about it, when I was asking you for some tips and how to grow my YouTube and how to grow my Instagram page, you always told me consistency. Be consistent on what you're doing and continue to thrive. So I know like your story is totally kind of like mine. You know, you guys, like you said, you guys are all friends. You guys have been friends for years. Kind of tell how it all came about from being friends with Asian to now, you know, basically telling their life story and you guys taking this long journey together.
I met Asian back when I was in high school, and we were going to a Votech to do graphic design together. So, after that, I've really been working with him in some regard as a graphic designer. We worked a small sign shop together. And then that was like around, when I was like 19 years old. And right around like what, maybe like 4 years ago now, is when he asked me to literally handed me a camera and asked me to go take pictures at an event. So ever since then, like this obsession with photography kind of started. And I just haven't put the camera down since. And well, it became my job to capture moments and share them with the rest of our fans through our social media. But it's kind of weird how it started on a whim like that, and to see where it's kind of become now and where it's going. I'm really excited about where we're going to be. Just moving forward from today, especially with the show, with the Farm Truck Nation show to start filming here pretty soon.
So is it weird having, you know, going from knowing a guy and being a regular friend of his to now being, I mean, you probably can't walk down the street. Maybe it's totally different, right, in Oklahoma now. But is it different? You guys are going to all these different places. You guys are meeting a million different people, you know, with SEMA shows and the different things you guys go to. So is it weird taking your life from a day to day where you were a normal guy per se, and now you're a superstar wherever you go?
It is kind of weird, and we in our circle kind of forget that they are who they are sometimes. But then we're quickly reminded, you know, like you see kind of like the frenzy that can be whenever when we're on our element and we're at a place like PRI or, you know, in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people at a No Prep Kings event. So it is very different to see a friend of mine go from just a friend of mine, that hasn't changed, but just what has changed is the perception of other people towards our group, I guess. So, I don't really see a big difference personally, but just how other people view him and Farm has definitely changed. So
I mean, it's just totally weird, right? Now, are you guys doing much with the dreaded question, right? Are you guys still doing much with the Street Outlaw guys? Have you guys kind of just stepped away to kind of portray or tell your story? Or, I mean, I don't believe there's any bad blood there with you guys doing your own thing. You guys have pretty much set yourself up very good to tell your story and still be a part of that. But what's the step forward going from here?
Nothing's really changed. Everything just kind of got put on hold. They're still Street Outlaws, and then now they got the Farm Truck and Asian show. You know, the show is literally called Street Outlaws, Farm Truck and Asian. So, you know, there's no bad blood there. Everyone from the show has been super supportive, and they've all come out and say, hey, if you guys need anything, let us know. So, you guys saw, like, Jeff Lutz is involved. So yeah, it's all good vibes, man. And there's just a lot of work to be done that's kind of been kind of put on hold with COVID. So.
And I mean, I hate talking about it, right? Everybody wants to talk about COVID and how it's changed some things, but it's also given us media people the opportunity to have conversations like this, to, you know, extend that story if someone's driving down the road, just like our YouTube channels do. Because I mean, granted, who has not? And if you, you know, you're going to be lying if you say you haven't, but we've all been, you know, in the car and we've got our phone stuck up in the corner there and you're driving down the road for who knows how long. And you turn on YouTube. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I turn on YouTube and I can, you know, go back and forth from the road to that. I mean,
drive, bro. Don't YouTube and drive.
Hey, yeah. Hey, there's no stickers out that say that yet, but I mean, sometimes if I'm swerving, I might be YouTubing. Yeah, you don't have to worry about me texting, but I mean, it's just one of those things, like you said. You know, you tell that story and then you guys have those friends and you still are connected with them. You still get to hang out and do different features with them on the show. But now it's really diving into who these two individuals are. And it goes back to their roots. Like one of the episodes that I, you know, I'm like I said, I'm still a fan no matter what. The one that I just watched, they're building a storm bunker. And that yeah, that one brought up, well, that one, and then when the episode with the magnet. I truly yeah. know how these two guys are that work with you and, you know, how you guys all operate. But then when you see it in a different light, it's like wow. But is Asian really that scared of spiders? Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. I was watching the episodes, and you guys are pretty much torturing him.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Yeah.
I mean, is it just, do they give it back to you? I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen them do, nitrous bottles and the pranks with the car, you know, them acting as seats. I mean,
yeah, with the hearse. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, like those two episodes there, like, you know, it's literally just how we all just get along. But, you know, either my camera in their face or Discovery cameras in their face, you know, it's who they are. It's who I've always known them to be, you know, like the magnet fishing one. That was literally Farm Truck, like walking in and saying, hey, let's go to the lake. And I got this magnet, bring your camera. And then all of a sudden we're in the lake, you know, and going under bridges and scaring Asian with the biggest spider I've ever seen in Oklahoma, you know? So, yeah, I'm really excited to be able to tell those kind of stories, instead of just, you know, them being known as like, you know, Farm Truck and Asian that street race and go fishing, you know, we went fishing with magnets that time. So yeah, it's really cool to be able to say that, tell those stories.
No. So like you just said, some days it's gotta be easy for you coming in and being able to tell these stories of people that, you know, may say, are they really this way? Are they really this funny? Are they, you know, do they make this stuff up? Do they try and hide it or put a front on for the camera? It must be cool for you as a content provider and someone that has to kind of maybe come up with some of these ideas, that you have two, like I said, of the funniest guys on TV right now, I can honestly say, especially in the street, in the racing industry. I mean, is there days where you're like, hey, I think we should do this, and they're like, nope, we're gonna put our own twist on it and just take you, you know, totally left field with all of it? Or, I mean, do you, man, guys?
It's all just kind of we all kind of work together, right? We have a goal and we all kind of produce, like the YouTube episode or whatever it is together. You know, everyone just kind of feeds off of everyone's ideas. And then we just kind of, go with what feels good and what is funny to us. So if it's funny to us, that's all that really matters. You know, we can just hope that it's funny to someone else, but if it makes us laugh, then that's all we really care about. You know, like Asian and I will watch the YouTube videos there before I upload them, and we're just cracking up at the dumb shit that we say. So yeah. Yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason. We just kind of go with the flow and you know, make each other laugh.
ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you, you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota, again, that is ALS Teca, for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. So, Lou, I got to say, I don't know if, you know, I am a huge, huge eater of Mexican food. Like, if there's Mexican food around, I'm like, I'm smashing Mexican food. If you guys,
hell yeah.
Is there any good places up there near you guys to eat? I mean.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty, man. We're big fans of San Marcos, number 4, up there on North MacArthur. They have a freaking farm truck sticker on their door. You know, those guys up there.
So who put it on there, though? Was it you or was it Ed?
Farm truck, I think, did. He frequents that place. And he's pretty good friends with the owner. So I think farm truck goes there almost every weekend and eats some Mexican food there. But yeah, we're all big fans of Mexican food. Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, being a kid from California, you know, family ties in Texas and everything like that. I mean, there's certain foods that you just have to eat, and it wouldn't be right to have a podcast without a food sponsor. Everyone needs that fuel.
I'm gonna take notes.
What was that?
I'll take some notes on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you, who knows, right? I mean, you've been on a couple. I know Farm Truck and Asian have been on a couple podcasts. Is there anything coming? Is those secrets that probably we don't know about yet for you guys?
Well, I mean, there's always plans. You know, there's always plans to do that. There's always things we want to do. You know, like the YouTube channel. We wanted to do the YouTube channel forever, and it just kind of finally said, "All right, we're just going to commit time and energy to do it and try to upload frequently." You know, so if we were to ever do a podcast, it'd be the same way. You know. We want to do one, you know, we already have ideas of how we would do it, but it's just, once we start something, we just can't start it and then not see it to the end, right? The YouTube channel, we're going to continue to do it. A podcast, man, if we were to do one, it would be part of our, weekly routine. You know, every day we'd have to do something to get ready for the week's podcast, right? So, with everything going on right now with, you know, Street Outlaws being filmed, with the FNA show being filmed, it's hard to say yes to more opportunities, because then you start taking energy away from the opportunities that are already in front of you and happening. So, maybe in the future, it'd be really fun. I would love to get on a podcast. I think it'd be wildly successful, because Farmer is a great storyteller, and I think Asian's a great interviewer. So I think it'd be really cool to one day do it. But, you know, we'll see if that day ever comes. So I might do one on my own. Who knows?
So a little birdie told me that Farm Truck actually has more energy than Asian sometimes.
Farm Truck will run circles around men half his age when it comes to doing work. So yeah, I think Farm Truck can outwork Asian and Ed and me put together.
So how is that? The guy that is portrayed as the, you know, the country guy, kind of I hate saying this word, but I mean, it is what it is. The hillbilly from, you know, from the 405 with the hat, with the farm truck and everything like that. But I mean, the guy is probably, like, even at PRI, or even when I saw you guys live in Tulsa, the guy is nonstop from the time you guys get there to the time you guys leave. If it's shaking hands, if it's just the energy. I mean, there was a couple of pictures I had, and I might try and dig those out and find those from Tulsa. But Farm Truck and Asian standing online, betting people shoes and money, getting the crowd involved. What does it take? What honestly does it take for you guys to calm them down sometimes, because there's just gotta be a lot of energy? Or do you feed off that? Does Ed feed off that to continue to thrive, to get things done? What is that energy really like?
Well, it's that's a good question. When we're at an event, we are all like extremely energized, and we have a goal. And Farm Truck out there, he's, or anywhere, Farm Truck is our, you know, he's our lead singer. You know what I mean? He's our front man, and we take his lead all the time. And his lead is to work hard all the time. So we just try to keep up with him, you know, and match his level and try to surpass it. And we're there to help each other. And we know that they're there to be Farm Truck and Asian, be entertaining, and be who they got to be. And Ed and I are there to support that. You know, I'm there to grab content. Ed's there to get the cars ready by the time they're ready to make a pass. So the energy, man, I'm literally worn out by the time I get to bed. But then if we got a 2-day event, then you sleep whatever hours you can at night and get up early and eat a big breakfast and go do it all over again, you know. But there are times where it's kind of, you know, more mellow, and we don't got to turn it on that much. Like today, you know, like, well, I say today, Farm Truck, you want to talk about work. Today he was digging up our parking lot because he's going to lay asphalt in it tomorrow. So he's, you know, driving around in a Bobcat all day, tearing shit up. And then Asian and I are working on the website. So different kinds of energy there, I guess, are being used. But yeah, man, his energy is very addicting, and he's taught me a lot on what it means to work and to work hard.
So the goofball out of the group is known to be Asian, but I have a feeling that Ed kind of stirs the pot just enough to get it. I have that feeling that Ed stirs the pot just enough to get everybody going, and then he turns around and goes, "I didn't do anything." I mean, like you said, you guys are a family. You guys are a culture. Going back into, like I said, the racing scene, when you guys were going out and, you know, Farmageddon and, you know, going out fishing and getting people and baiting people into those races, what was that whole, you know, I wouldn't say not a nightmare, but what was that like? Because I've heard that throughout that show, they can say, hey, we're going to film on the 16th. And then on the 13th, say, hey, we're changing this, you know, to the 18th, to the 22nd. You guys are always on that constant schedule. But then having two stars like that on the show, what was it like to, you know, go racing with them, see them do that kind of stuff, see their raw passion for it? Because that's what they did before the show, you know, they were just considered the hype people.
Oh, I mean, it's no different than any other time. You know, the difference is that when we go out there to do that, we're out there working, you know, it's just kind of like an event. You know, I'm there to help with whatever I can, but mainly to capture content for us, you know, and Ed's there to get the cars ready. But man, it's no different than if the cameras were there or not. You know, it's like you said, it's what they used to do. So there's not a huge difference. But yeah, you are right. It is a bit chaotic sometimes what the schedule can be, because the schedule is out of our hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in Farm Truck and Asian's hands. It's all in what production has to do, and things change constantly. So we just always prepare to do what we think we're going to do and then have no expectations of actually doing it. So we got to be okay with plans just getting ready to do this thing and then plans just falling apart and then not doing them. We can't really get mad about that stuff. It's just the way it is.
So maybe the most controversial question I'm going to ask you tonight, but for Farm Truck and one for Asian, what was your like, what the fuck moment with some of the things that they do, some of the things that they may have said, and you were like, did you really just do that? You know, out in public on the show, things that you've posted on, you know, your stories and on their story. What's probably the one standout moment between the two guys that you're just like, yo, what, like, what the fuck?
I mean, I think it is probably everyone's biggest what the fuck moment with them is that fucking nitrous chair. You know, I don't think anybody expected it to go the way it went, you know, especially Asian. You know, the story goes that they had a mannequin on there originally that they were going to put on. But Asian just happened to walk in the shop that day, and he's like, well, I'll fucking ride that. So they strapped him in, and they kept adding stuff. They're like, oh, well, maybe we should put you in the suit. Oh, maybe we should put a helmet on you. Oh, and, you know, wait, maybe we should strap it down so the chair don't go anywhere. And, you know, the bottles aren't supposed to have that much nitrous in them. And then after that, you know, everyone kind of saw what happened. So that was definitely one of the most what the fuck just happened moments that I've ever had in my life, really, and especially working with them.
So was it as fun? Like, it had everything is funnier in person, but you.
Oh, no, that was scary. That was very cool. That was really scary. Yeah.
I mean,
I was frightened for my friend, you know, it's funny to watch afterwards.
Oh yeah.
But, and I understand why it's funny, but God, you know, we all feared for his life. You know, you could see it in Formtruck's face, you know, that he was frightened. But luckily, you know, everything worked out.
No, I mean, looking at it, watching it back, you're still like, did he really do that? Yeah. It's one of those things, though, with the media trend that we have in today's society. How many other people do you think have done that? Or, you know, you guys with the airbag, blowing the airbags up and sitting on top of those and just the different little prank jokes that you've seen on, you know, it used to be Vine back in the day, or you've seen on YouTube people doing it. And then it's like, okay. You guys took it to and you know, I didn't know that was going to be that moment till you started talking about it, but you guys took that to a totally different level, and probably the response out of that, I mean, you could post that and that's one of those things that people are going to like, laugh at forever. But like you said, experiencing that, it's true, like raw emotion. You're like, why, what are we doing here? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the internet, causes you to lose sight of the human, right? Like, it's not a human anymore. When you're watching someone fall or, you know, spin in a nitrous chair, you know, there's just someone doing it on the internet. But, you know, whenever it's your friend that you've known for 20 years, you know, it's a little frightening.
So, I mean, you guys, like you said, you're always consistently planning and trying to, you know, get everything figured out for the next year or what's coming up. What kind of have you guys started looking, you know, other than just the shows and recording with the other guys, have you guys started looking and seeing what you guys are doing for the 2021 season? Or are you guys just kind of taking it step by step with everything? Is that all planning that you have to do on a normal day-to-day basis also?
Man, we never plan ahead, just because we know we don't, well, that sounds bad. We do plan ahead, but we don't plan further than what we already have in front of us, I guess is a better way to say it. So we're not really planning a whole lot, because there's still a lot of work to do right now. So, and then plus right now, we don't really even know what 2021 looks like because of COVID. You know, cases in Oklahoma are still going up. There's no ICU beds in Oklahoma City, you know, so things are still kind of wild. But as far for us, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're already doing and take the punches as they come, or make plans, you know, last minute and then see them through. But, you know, one thing's for sure, we're going to continue to share our lives as much as we can through our social media. We're going to continue to grow the YouTube channel. And then, you know, I don't know when the Formtruck Nation show will air, but then after that, you know, we'll be able to show a little bit, hopefully behind the scenes of the cars being built and, you know, the final outcome, and it's either a race or whatever kind of big payout they have for each build is going to be. We're not really planning into 2021. We're going to continue to do what we are doing right now and then see what opportunities come up next year. So
the big question I got to ask, when is Ed going to take on the camera and Lou's going to jump in one of these cars and we're going to see more of not just the photographer, the great work he can do in there. We kind of want to see more of you on the screen, on, you know, on the YouTube channel, maybe drive a car or two, anything like that kind of in the future, or are you just going to stick to producing the good content?
I mean, I think we're just going to do whatever comes up, you know, like everything that they've asked me to do, I've done it and ran with it. So one day if I hear go drive his car, sure, you know, I'll do it. But yeah, I don't know, man. We're just going to continue to have fun and try to make each other laugh.
No, definitely. You know, I got to give you a little bit of crap there. But then going back to your trade shows and different things like that, what would you say, I guess, is the what show do you like better? I mean, SEMA or PRI? Which one, I guess, gets you kind of a little bit more motivated and brings, I would say, the best out of you?
Man, I think there's different things about both of them. You know, like SEMA's in Vegas. So that's kind of exciting, but for us, it's not really. We don't really go out and party after after SEMA. You know, we go eat dinner, we talk about the day, and then we, you know, sure, I'll go have a drink or two sometimes, but we don't go out and party till late in the night. You know, because we're up at 7 a.m. Eating breakfast because we've got meeting after meeting the next day. But man, to me, I guess I can't help but to be more excited for SEMA just because it's the first big one, you know, of the year. And it's in Vegas and everyone's there, right? In the motorsport world, not just in drag racing. So, and then that's when we really initiate like new business ideas. And then by the time PRI rolls up, you know, it's more centered around drag racing and everyone that you already met and talked to at SEMA is at PRI. So you're just kind of walking up to the, you know, like the Pro Charger booth or whatever. And going, "Hey Sergio, how's it going? You know, we just saw you like 4 weeks ago, you know, like, and then we just kind of say hi and then move on." But most of the business or whatever conversations that we need to have mainly happen at SEMA.
All right. So, we've talked about everything farm truck and Asian. We've talked about everything, you know, with the 405 and you and Lou and everything that you guys are recording with Street Outlaws. But now I kind of want to focus this section on you. You as a content provider to people, you as a media source and I can honestly say someone that a lot of people, including myself, look up to. You know, you've, like I said, my friend AJ True Street, you've kind of taken him under your wing a little bit and shown him a few things. So how does that feel knowing that you're not just being a part of helping people, you know, get content of two great people, but you're also helping provide knowledge for the rest of the media, people like myself and AJ and other people that you've helped or worked with?
Yeah, man, I guess I didn't really realize the voice I had within the community that I was help building and the community that I became a part of. I kind of got stuck in our own little world, and I didn't really realize that whenever I would talk to somebody and give them advice, what that meant to them, you know. And it hasn't really been until the last couple of years that I've become aware of this, and I've tried to do more with the community. So me personally, you know, I mean, just little things like doing like a photo editing challenge on my Instagram. You know, that's just in making a conversation on how to edit photos, and they get to edit raw files that I take, and I can, you know, they got questions on how to do it. And I try to answer everyone that has any kind of question. All I want to do is help everyone out. So I'm hoping to continue to do more, which is kind of why I'm doing stuff like this. I've realized that I've been kind of silent on that, and only kind of helped in the background, but I really want to bring that more into the surface and be more vocal about it. You know, like, I'm starting to try and put out more content for myself. It's one of the reasons why I started putting my face out more on my, social medias, because I want to now include a voice behind just all the photos that I post. So hopefully it inspires a conversation. People get to know who I am and what I'm trying to do. So hopefully I'll be able to do, you know, I get questions all the time. Like, "Hey, what gear do you use?" Well, I'm planning on, I'm doing a little bit on YouTube for myself. You can look up Lou Renova on YouTube And it, I only got like 300 subscribers, but you know, that doesn't matter to me, right? It's just a matter of putting out the content. And if there's anyone, if it helps one person, that, you know, that's, it's more than enough, you know? So hopefully I can start doing gear reviews or, you know, editing reviews. I'm planning on releasing my own photo presets here pretty soon. And like, one big thing I'm doing that I'm definitely afraid of, is public speaking. So this kind of helps me out a little bit, to do public speaking, but this Saturday I'm going to be a speaker, at PhotoCon here in Oklahoma City, which is the largest photography conference in the Midwest, is happening here in Oklahoma City. And I was able to build a relationship with a local company here, and they invited me to be a speaker at it. So I'm going to go there and talk about just photography and drag racing photography and kind of what I do and how I get to do what I do through chasing an obsession that I kind of fell into. So, yeah, man, it's time that I kind of start helping, with the knowledge that I really wasn't aware I was learning. But I've learned a lot in the last 4 years since I picked up a camera, and, I really want to give it back. You know, like AJ was just here, I think like a week ago, and he was here filming a documentary for school, and, he made a post on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook. And he's like, hey, I need a lens. I only have this one lens and I need a film. And I'm like, hey, dude, you know, come over. And he came over and I let him borrow a lens of mine. And he used it for a couple of days. And yeah, so hopefully, you know, stuff like that just helps out.
Yeah. And then you said your YouTube channel, we are going to put that down on the banner. So what is it? What's your YouTube channel, Lou?
Oh man, just Lou Renault. It's my name. So it's like, L-O-U. And then my last name is R-E-N-O-V-A. Right. Like I just posted a picture of Murder Nova testing, just like a little raw video. I'll, you have a chat on here? I can see something.
I think so. I don't know if you can see it for sure. Never tried it. Yeah, just send that to me and I'll get that up. Definitely. So like you said, you're going back and helping AJ, a friend of mine. That's another person that I want you guys to check out. And that's True Street Productions. He's doing great things. If you haven't already, please go down. If you're watching the video, check them out on their Instagram. Lou posts stuff. I mean, I can probably look at my phone right now and he probably updated something to his story as we speak. The guy is just so good at putting content out there for you and giving you guys and giving us what we all want. And that's what we need more in life. You know, a lot of people, and in this industry, a lot of people say, oh, well, how do I get to that level? I myself started out, like I said, just asking a simple question, Southern hospitality, as my mom and dad would say, asking a simple question to a friend, waiting your turn to speak, the things that we learned back in school. But now I can honestly say I have a mentor, I have a friend, I've got to meet two really cool dudes. It's a continuing growth, but it is honestly great to have, you know, people like you, and now you're going out and doing anything and doing these things and telling people what kind of gear you're using. Was there any idols for you? Like, I know myself, I love Peter McKinnon and Casey Neistat, both on YouTube. Is there any people like that for you that you just gravitate towards their style of editing or anything like that? Or you just kind of adapted your own style?
Sure. I think I did adapt my own style, but early on, when I really started paying attention to YouTube was when Casey Neistat was vlogging daily. And he became kind of someone I looked up to on how to do that. And I followed Peter McKinnon and Gary Vee. And someone that's kind of within our niche a little bit in the motorsports world is like Larry Chen. So he got his YouTube channel going not too long ago. I think it's Hoonigan Autofocus. And man, just to be able to watch the work he does, and he takes amazing photos that inspire me. You know, he's someone in photography that I completely look up to. So, I would say Casey was really early on, and then I see what Larry Chen's done, and I'm hoping to kind of mesh their styles along with what I can do. and find my own style eventually, you know.
And you're a huge gun guy. I mean, we cannot.
I wouldn't say a huge gun guy, but I like to shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably don't want to say that and then have people thinking, "Oh, Lou's a gun guy." Better watch out for him. But no, I mean, on your personal page, I'm going out and seeing you, you know, doing target practicing, doing the different drills and everything like that. So I got to ask. I myself am a gun believer. What's your favorite ammunition? What's your favorite, you know, make? I mean, myself, I kind of like, I'm a Springfield guy myself. I mean, what do you like?
What I mainly do is shoot under USPSA, which is the United States Practical Shooting Association. And I compete in their sport. And I used to do that back in the day. Before I got into this career that I'm in now. But now, like, I just kind of, I've reached the point where I can kind of start doing a few things for myself again, and I picked up the gun and started practicing and started competing again. So that's what you've been seeing in the post that I've been making recently, which I never really shared that part of my life until now, because I started doing it again. But man, right now, I'm really into shooting CZs. So I compete with a CZ Shadow 2 that I kind of tricked out with a trigger job, and I put a red dot optic on it. And then as far as ammunition, I reload my own. I reload my own ammo. So you know, I still have tons of ammo that I can reload. So I'm not really affected by the scarcity and the higher expense of it that we're experiencing right now in the U.S.
So then I got to ask this really strange question, but to a shooter and to a camera guy, does shooting help your camera ability, or did, you know, taking more pictures help your shooting ability with the quick trigger on that finger now?
Man, I think it's, I've been in sports my whole life, you know, so I think just having a good hand-eye coordination and being situationally aware helps you in both, you know, like you gotta, if you're taking photos, you know, you gotta be aware of your surroundings and finding the cool shots and finding the cool moments. You know, when you're shooting guns, you know, you just gotta, same thing, your hand and eye coordination, you know, your the gun goes where your eyes go. And the same thing with the camera, you know, your camera goes where your eyes are looking. So yeah, they're kind of the same, but very different.
Yep, definitely. And like I said, if you guys haven't already, please check out their YouTube. I put it down below for anybody that does watch the video. And that's probably going to end up on the story somewhere, I'm guessing. I just saw the camera pop out. If you haven't already, please go over and check it out on their YouTube channel. All of their content is phenomenal. And like you said, you're taking great pictures. Don't want to ask too many questions to you and give out all the beans, but if you could tell anyone that is in a younger position, anyone that looks up to you, that I, you know, that looks up and says what he is doing is what I want to do in the future. Like, if you could take 1 second to have everybody's attention, what would you tell them? Like you said, you're going to speak, so here's your chance to kind of get your pre-speech out of the way before you have to go this weekend. But what would you tell someone on how to make it and how to survive in this media industry?
Well, I think, first of all, it starts with managing your expectations. Don't expect that you are going to make it. If you're doing it for those reasons, you've already failed. You have to do it, you know, much like yourself, you have to do it because you love to do it, because you're obsessed about it. And whatever the outcome is, doesn't matter, because you're already getting to do what you love to do. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is if you find an obsession, just do it and don't stop doing it. Just chase it, because the obsession will make you fearless. The obsession will pick you up when you fail, and it'll just help you keep pushing through. And if something happens with it afterwards, that you become known for it by other people, then great. But if not, you know, it's like Gary Vee talks about all the time. He says that he posted on his YouTube channel for 5 years and didn't get shit for views, but then one day it just kind of picked up, you know. So that's my it's like I told you years ago, man, it's still about consistency. And be consistent in something that you love, and people will recognize hard work. You know, like honest hard work, people will recognize it. So do it for that. Do it for the respect. Don't do it for any kind of acclamation or you know, or any kind of fame or whatever, whatever you think you're going to get by chasing that. Just do it for respect and do it because you love it.
All right. There you go. We've let off the trance break when we first started. We've got down. We talked about everything you guys got going on. We have now entered that zone where we hit that parachute handle and we start turning things off, and we are now coasting across that finish line. Is there anything that you want to tell the people out there? Like I said, you've told them to be consistent. You've kind of told how you're telling these stories, but where can everybody check you guys out? Where can they buy the pimp juice? Where can they buy, you know, all the cool things that Farm Truck and Asian and 405 Photography have going on? We've talked about checking out your Instagram. Here's your personal YouTube. We'll put something about that in our own stuff, but is there anything that you want to shout out, people, or anything like that?
Man, I'm just very grateful that I get to do what I do and work every day with people that I love and consider family. So please just stay tuned and check out the Farm Truck and Asian show. Everyone in our camp is extremely excited about it. And then the story will unfold after that. But you can check all our stuff out at okcfarmtruck.com. You can buy pimp juice there. You can go to pimpjuicetraction.com and get sticky right there. You can follow us on social media. Our YouTube channel is going to keep growing. So just look for Farm Truck and Asian on YouTube. Look for Lou Renova 45 Photo on YouTube. And then we're going to keep the content coming.
That's awesome. And again, what we always like to tell anybody that has joined us here on In the Groove podcast, because no matter what, as long as we're talking racing, we're doing anything that involves racing, and we love the sport, that smashing the loud pedal saves your life. I don't care who you are. If you love motorsports, you get in that car, you're having a long, stressful day, you smash that loud pedal, and it will save your life. Thanks again to my friend. Like I said, a great friend, a great mentor. Thank you, Lou. Thank you. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your day and just chit-chatting with us here and telling your story and talking with Farm Truck and Asian. And who knows, maybe when all this stuff blows over and goes to the side, maybe I can come down and maybe we can do a live feed with the two crazy guys themselves and that crazy mechanic that we like to tell. Fuck you, Ed. Maybe we can all get on there together. Hopefully he listens to this in the shop and he can hear as many times as I said that. But Maybe we can get down and do something with you guys again. But thank you for, you know, spending an hour with us and just chit-chatting about what it's like to really work with those guys and do the things that you guys enjoy to do.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. We can't thank you enough. Till next time, my friend. Everybody, like we've said before, you know, if you want to be a part of this podcast, please let us know. We are a growing podcast. If you maybe want to be a sponsor on this podcast or anything like that, please get a hold of us. And the way to get a hold of us is right here. It is In The Groove, double E, In The Groove Podcast at gmail.com. You guys can send us any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that. And then if you haven't already, please check out all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where we drop a new video every Thursday. We're not on the train yet like some of these other guys where they can do it daily. We're dropping something every Thursday, and you're listening to our podcast, so you know what it is. We've reached the return road. We're going back to the pits before we take it for another round. But always remember, I am your host, Slammin' Sam. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mabro Motorsports, LS Tech and Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you haven't done already, please go over and check out all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube, all under outlawperformance.ent. until next time, you guys keep smashing that loud pedal.